Just before I begin, I'd like to put a little plug in for the health talks that are taking place just prior to the church service beginning during the special feature time. I want to thank our health committee. We have a fantastic group in that health committee, and they're giving really informative talks like you heard this morning. I thank Judy for that presentation. And just some real practical things that are coming along with what we've been talking about here in this this sermon series. So I just want to encourage you to come on into church for the, it starts at 10:45, 10:50, somewhere in there. And special features have been really powerful, and I anticipate more really good teaching from our health committee. So I want to encourage you to make that a part of your Sabbath morning schedule, to come to Sabbath school at 9:30, come to the special feature at 10:45, and of course, it's great to see you here in church. Well, lately, we've been talking about taking our health to the next level, our experience in health. We're all at different places in our experience with health. And when we talk about health, we're talking about total fitness, mind, spirituality, body, all of that together, taking that to the next level. That's our desire, that's our goal. The Bible is very practical and gives us some practical teachings. We've been looking at those things the past few weeks. And before we get started this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you one more chance to make a health goal for the next 4 weeks. Okay, we're pushing up to, and the goal is February 21. That's where we're making health goals for. So I have some deacons that are ready to pass out. If you didn't get a yellow card that says your finish line on it, if you haven't made a health goal yet, just raise your hand real quick, and the deacons will pass out. Maybe everyone's got one already, but I just want to give you one last chance to be able to do that. If you need a yellow card and you'd like to make a health goal for the next month, we got one up here. Anybody else? Just go ahead and raise your hand. This is your opportunity. We got one more over there. Don't be shy. This is okay. We got one back there. So thank you so much, deacons, for passing those out. I want to encourage you. Oh, there we go. This is what the card looks like. And some practical suggestions that are there. You can pick one, or you can write in your own health goal. And what we're doing is we're doing this as a family. There's some momentum here. Like, you might be able to go out and make some changes in your life on your own, but this is a unique opportunity. We're starting the year off, and we're wanting to put our best foot forward in the area of health. We want to take our health to the next level. You still have 4 weeks. You can be working towards a goal if you haven't set one already. I want to encourage you to do that. Today is the halfway point in our 50 Days to Fitness series. This is a health initiative. We're taking 50 days, beginning the year off, to make health a priority. And I would imagine that if you have chosen to set a health goal for this series, if you've been following along, you've done it for the past few weeks, the past 4 weeks since we started, I'm guessing that you've had an opportunity to struggle a little bit. If you haven't, then your goal is probably set a little too low, or you're just doing great and praise the Lord. But if you've had an opportunity to struggle a little bit, this message today is for you. Or if you have ever found, you've been ever aware, very aware, viscerally aware of the weaknesses in your body, this message today is for you. Because here's the thing, we can complete this 50 Days to Fitness. Yeah, February 21, we did it, 50 days, you know, I cut out chocolate, or I've been reading my Bible every day, or I spent more quality time with my family, or I've lowered my, you know, I've lost a few pounds, or maybe I started an exercise program. Whatever your goal is, you can say, yeah, that we've done it for 50 days. And if you don't apply certain principles of health, you can lose that fitness. You can be in great shape, in fact, and totally digress. That can happen. Believe it or not, it actually does happen. You can actually go to the gym and have a habit going, you're feeling good, and say, you know, life's getting busy, and you know, I got some things going on, and I just don't really feel like it. I've been working hard. I deserve to take a break, all these different things. And we can actually digress once we've been in a good place physically. The reality is that unless we are disciplined, health cannot continue to happen in our lives. One of the outstanding examples of discipline in our world today is a man that has been described by an ambassador from the National Football League as the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game of football. During this man's professional football career, and I'll put a picture of him up there, During his professional football career, some of you are already saying his name, he earned 3 Super Bowl rings. He played in 13 Pro Bowls, which is a high honor. Over his 20-season career, 20 years in the National Football League, he played more games than any other wide receiver. He's the only receiver in NFL history to surpass the 20,000 career receiving yards. And he also holds the record for the most career touchdowns at 197. That's not 197 points. That's 197 touchdowns. You can say amen to that. Okay. It's all right. Because of this guy's accomplishment on the field and the fact that he spent a majority of his career in the Bay Area, many of you know the name Jerry Rice, right? Jerry Rice. Yeah, you know his name. But his success on the football field didn't just happen by chance. He had to work for it. There was some discipline that was there in this man's life. During his time in the NFL, Rice earned the reputation, and I quote, as the hardest working player in the league. When the offseason arrived, and most players were starting to scale back on their training, scale back on their program a little bit, taking it a little bit easy, Rice's rigorous training regimen remained the same. Often he worked out 5 hours a day, relying on his personal trainer so as to not cut corners and to make sure that every muscle in his body was worked to the farthest extent. He was pushing it. He was disciplined, even in the offseason. When players would come to work out with Jerry Rice and stay in shape during the offseason, most of them would leave these training sessions with a bruised ego and a sore body. Rice was 100% dedicated, 100% disciplined, and dedicated to the game of football. He trained hard, he watched his diet meticulously, and he diligently studied strategies and how to be a better football player. Now, I realize that Mr. Rice was born with all kinds of natural ability in the area of football. He had all kinds. He was an exceptionally talented player. But without discipline, there would have been no Super Bowl rings. Without discipline, there would have been no records broken. And frankly, without discipline, Jerry Rice might have made it into the National Football League, but there's no way he could have stayed in it the way he did. It just wouldn't have happened. This story, we wouldn't even be telling this story if it wasn't for discipline. And just like Jerry Rice needed discipline in order to achieve success in his football career, in the same way, you and I need discipline in order to achieve success when it comes to our health, when it comes to taking our health to the next level, when it comes to experiencing the most in life, life to the fullest. This cannot happen. We cannot improve our health without discipline. But the problem is, when it comes to discipline, when you think about that word, when you think about going against unhealthy cravings that just appear in your life, the problem is that we are all very weak when it comes to discipline. For most people, the idea of self-denial and going against their unhealthy cravings does not sound like a good time. It doesn't sound like a fun thing to do. But if we are willing to work at it, if we're willing to practice discipline, we can succeed in improving our health. That is an actual reality. And as we succeed in improving our health, the goal is that, first of all, we'll have a better connection with our Heavenly Father, and we will add many good quality years to life. It just makes sense to practice discipline. The title of the message this morning is Give Weakness a Black Eye. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and talk some sense to me and to each one of us here. Father, we fight discipline. I pray that we would learn to practice it. And that's a work that only you can do inside of us. We pray, God, that you would give us a willing heart to receive the teaching from your word right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The teaching today is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and if you need to, go ahead and pull out a pew Bible in front of you. You'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 9 on page 1105. We're going to be starting in verse 24. Give you a chance to get there. So by the time the Apostle Paul, the author of the letter 1 Corinthians, by the time he wrote this, sports had become very popular. In the city of Corinth, there was a sporting event that everybody looked forward to, and it was called the Isthmian Games. It's kind of a tough name to say, but it's called the Isthmian Games. It was held every 2 years. Yeah, you can practice it if you want. It was held every 2 years, and much like the Olympic Games, in the games held in Corinth, people from all over would come, and they would participate in a variety of events. There were events like running, there was boxing, there was wrestling, there was the javelin and the discus throw. They had a variety of different events that they would come and they would compete in. So everyone could come and watch these competitions that were held in Corinth. They built these stadiums. And people would come into these stadiums, they would pack out the house, much like we do in football games and things like that. They would come and pack it out. The adoring fans would come to watch their favorite player, to see how different tournaments would turn out. It was a very exciting event for people. When the games were going on, people dropped what they're doing if they could, and they came out to watch this event. They made it a priority. These athletes, encouraged by all the spectators that were in the stands, would perform at their best. Sometimes new records would be set, much like today in our Olympic Games. Sometimes, after hearing the cheering of the fans and the support and the encouragement from the spectators, the underdog would come out the winner and everybody would cheer. Now, I don't know if the Apostle Paul ever went to the games in Corinth, but he knew enough about popular culture. He was in tune enough with popular culture that he was able to observe an important lesson from these games, from these athletes. And I'd like for you, as we read 1 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 24, we're just going to read a few verses down to verse 27. I'd like for you to listen for this observation that Paul is making. See if you can pick out this lesson that applies really to our health. And if we can apply this lesson to our health, it's going to help us to take health to the next level and to sustain these changes that we're going after and working so hard for. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as a shadow boxer, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What athletes do to give themselves a chance at winning, what athletes do to position themselves so that they can be first, so that they can win, is the same thing that we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, must do to not only be healthy in this life, but to experience eternal life as well. It's the same. The same principles apply. For an athlete to win the games, verse 25 says that they must be temperate, is what the New King James Version says. Temperate in how much? In all things, every aspect of life, thinking, spirituality, physical life, they must be temperate in all things. The New Living Translation says they need to go into strict training. In other words, to win any of the events, actually I believe that's the New International Version that says that they need to go into strict training. To win any of these events, athletes had to be disciplined. They needed discipline. Long before these games arrived, long before the cheering fans filled the stadium, long before all that, months before all that, these athletes were practicing discipline. In fact, to ensure that every competitor arrived at the best possible physical condition, it was mandatory for all contestants in the games to endure months of intense physical discipline. That was mandatory. If you're going to be in the games, that's just the way it was. You were going to have to prepare your body for months in advance, intensely disciplining yourself. To prepare themselves for these competitions required that they dedicate every moment of their life to these games. We say today that people eat, sleep, drink, breathe their sport when they're an athlete. That's exactly what these men did. And they were willing to subject themselves to all kinds of very stringent, very strict rules. Men, grown men, who could choose to do anything, they chose to be under the authority of these strict rules so that they could compete in these games. They couldn't afford to let feelings dictate their choices in life, because even the slightest weakness could cause them to lose. And they were in it to win. The life of an athlete was hard. It was not an easy life. If you wanted to be soft and hang out on the beach and sip a lemonade, the life of an athlete was not for you. The life of an athlete was a difficult life. It involved self-denial. It involved suffering. Some of them sustained injuries that they never recovered from during the heat of competitions. Some even lost their lives. And why would they do all this? Why would they sacrifice all this? For a moment of glory. For a moment of glory. Verse 25 says that these athletes practice discipline. They are temperate in all things because they hope to win what Paul calls a perishable crown. In the Isthmian Games, the winners were awarded a wreath of pine twigs, different from the wreaths that you'd see awarded to the Olympic winners. In the Isthmian Games, it was a wreath of pine twigs with a few needles hanging out of it. That's what they were willing to put it all on the line for. That's what they were willing to discipline themselves for, to practice months in advance for. Picture it. All that work, all that sacrifice, all of that risk for a crown of foliage. Picture that. A crown that would eventually rot. Paul says, learn the discipline of these athletes. But do it for a cause that is worthy of your effort. In a couple of weeks, the biggest sporting event in the United States is about to take place. What is it, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Super Bowl. Y'all know that. Yeah. On Super Bowl Sunday, athletes will be putting it all on the line so that they can take an inflated pigskin to the opposite end of a 100-yard field. Millions of dollars will be spent on this event, and the fans, you and I, will watch it, and we're going to go crazy. Well, maybe not all of us. Some of us. Some of us will. Some of us will, Terry. We're going to go crazy. To prepare themselves for playing in the honor of this game, for the honor, rather, of playing in this game, these athletes have trained all their lives. They've trained for years. They've watched their diet. They've pushed themselves to exhaustion day in and day out. They have endured pain. Many of these athletes, if not all of them, have played with injuries. But if you're a football fan, you'd expect nothing less from those athletes, right? Get back out there. What, you have a hurt shoulder? Come on, this is the Super Bowl. Get out there. This is worth putting it all on the line. You would expect that if you're a football fan from those players, because your team has no chance of winning a Super Bowl unless every athlete is disciplined and every athlete is totally dedicated to that cause. They're just not going to win. Ironically, some people think that to be a Christian, it's not really necessary to be disciplined like that. Even though the cause that we live for as Christians has eternal value, we are okay with the idea that we don't really need to be disciplined in everything. I mean, to be temperate in all things, isn't that a little extreme? Sometimes we worry about people who try to be disciplined in every way of their life for their faith. And yet we'll scream and holler and approve of athletes who will dedicate their lives to taking a pigskin 100 yards down a field. The Bible tells us that unless we practice discipline in all things as followers of Jesus, we may miss out on what really matters. Paul calls it in verse 25 an imperishable crown. We Adventist Christians, our hope is that Jesus is going to come back soon. Can you say amen to that? That is our hope. And our hope is that as many people as possible are going to spend eternity with him, and our hope is that we too will be there. When Jesus comes in the clouds, I want to see all of you looking up into the sky and gazing into his eyes. I want to see all of you seeing his face and smiling back at you. I want to see all of you, I want to hear all of us just elated that he has come for us, praising God. And I want for us all to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Paul is saying, this is what we're playing for. He's saying, it's not for an imperishable crown. Even though these guys put it all on the line for a wreath of twigs, he's saying, you've got something so much better to live for. And therefore, to be disciplined, to be temperate in all things. Maybe people will see you doing this and they might judge you as being extreme. But Paul says, they're willing to do it for a wreath of twigs. We got something so much better to live for. This is why it matters that we are temperate in all things. This is why it matters that we practice discipline. It matters what we eat. When we eat as healthfully as possible, that really matters. It matters that we exercise. It matters that we get enough rest. It matters how we live our life. It matters that I avoid anything that would harm my body, because if we are going to follow Jesus and lead other people to follow him too, then the Bible says we must be disciplined, we must be temperate in all things. That's the Bible's words. To follow Jesus and to lead other people to follow Jesus will take everything that we've got. Sometimes I look at my life and I say, man, I just wish that I was more effective for the cause of Christ. But the idea of committing every part of my life to being effective for the cause of Christ is scary. Even though I'm a pastor, my nature recoils at that. What might happen if I was fully disciplined, if I was fully dedicated to following Jesus? The pain, the suffering that I might endure. It's hard. It's a hard thing that Paul is telling us. As we consider this level of discipline that he's talking about, being disciplined, temperate in all things, no category of life being left out, being temperate in all things, as we consider this level of discipline, as we consider this definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I would like to address a question that is being asked more and more by Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And that question is this: is it okay for me to drink alcohol socially? Now, there's a variety of different questions to address, but I just want to pick this one because it's being asked more and more today. Is it okay for me to drink alcohol socially? I'm not talking about getting drunk and being a nuisance or being a danger to other people or harming my own body. I'm just saying, is it okay for us to drink alcohol socially? Now, I realize that some people are able to drink and it's not a problem. They can have a glass of wine with their meal, and they seem to be unaffected by that. Or they can have a beer, and they seem to be able to function just fine. In fact, I know that some doctors recommend a glass of red wine with your meal so that it will help with health benefits, and especially if you have a heart condition. Sometimes they will recommend this as a way to help you with your health. And although red wine does have health benefits, they're not saying something that's wrong, I believe. I believe they're telling the truth that there are some benefits to red wine. According to research recently published by the Mayo Clinic, The exact same health benefits that are in red wine can also be found in red dark grape juice. The health benefits, in other words, are not from the glass of wine, do not come from the alcohol itself. It comes from the grape juice. That's where the health benefits come from. In fact, they even suggest that you might be better off eating whole red grapes, because not only will you get the antioxidants that you need for your health, but you'll also get the added benefit of dietary fiber. Now, I realize that some of you might be saying, well, okay, so if there's health, you know, if the same health benefits can happen if I drink a glass of red wine or if I just drink grape juice, well, what if I prefer red wine? A team of researchers from the University of South Carolina, Charleston, investigated this issue. Is it okay if I just have a glass? Is it okay if I just have one beer? They investigated this issue. And although medicine has known for years that heavy drinking damages the brain, what these medical researchers wanted to find out was, how much do I need to drink before it harms my body? I mean, there's got to be a place there. We know that heavy drinking just really is hard on the body and damages the mind, damages liver and other organs. But how much can I drink before I get to that place where I'm doing damage? Incidentally, the lead scientist in this study conducting the research says that he used to be a moderate drinker himself. But when he made these discoveries that came out of the study that these team of researchers conducted on the effects of even one glass of wine or one beer, he was led to this conclusion. And this is what he says. There is only one way to be safe from the danger of alcohol. This is coming from a moderate drinker. He says, there's only one way to be safe from the danger of alcohol, and that is to quit it cold. To quit it cold. This man actually stopped drinking after this research, because what they found was that permanent brain damage occurs after just one glass of wine or after just one beer. Just when you begin sipping alcohol, permanent brain damage occurs. It might be slight, but it is still permanent, and it is still damage. In other words, you can have a blood alcohol level that is legal for you to drive in California and still be sustaining permanent brain damage. It's almost imperceptible, but it is there. You can still be killing brain cells, even if you don't realize it. The Bible says to be temperate in all things, to be disciplined in all areas of your life. But this counsel is never going to appeal to us. To be temperate in all things, that is never going to be something that we're wanting to do unless we have a goal that is worth it. For the players in the games, it was to hear the adoring fans. It was to hear the cheers. It was to have that wreath placed upon their heads. That's what was worth it. But for Christians, our goal is something so much better. Our goal is in knowing Jesus. I know that phrase gets thrown around a lot. You know, and no one's like jumping up and hollering and praising God when I make that statement. It gets said a lot in church. But consider for a moment what we gain when we know Jesus. Consider it for a moment. To know Jesus means that you are forgiven. All of the junk of your past has been covered. It means that you can have peace when life all around you is crazy. What would that be worth to you? It means that you can be content in all circumstances. Knowing Jesus makes us healthy people. It gives us the hope of eternal life. Knowing Jesus takes discipline in all things. Knowing Jesus is not the easiest way to go in the moment, but it is worth it. It's worth it. I think that it is. As long as we are on this earth, practicing discipline is not an option if we want to be healthy. We must do it if we want to be healthy. In other words, there's never going to be a time when we can just coast and just do whatever our body tells us to do and still be healthy. Because inside of us is Inside of all of us is something that is regularly suggesting unhealthy practices. There's this thing that's inside of us that's constantly making suggestions that aren't the best for us. It tells us things like, why don't you stay up late tonight? Stay up late. Maybe it's spending time on Facebook, not necessarily doing anything bad or, you know, whatever it might be. Just why don't you stay up till late tonight when you really need to get your rest. Stay up playing video games or watch something really late at night when the fact is you're really tired and you need your rest. This thing inside of us tells us, it reminds us of how good junk food tastes when we're hungry. It says, remember that last hamburger? Remember that last bag of greasy chips that you enjoyed? Why don't you have another one? There's something inside of us that tells us stuff like that. It suggests that we should really decide to begin our exercise program tomorrow. Makes that suggestion. It tells us that we should, you know, if we really want to feel better, eating a gallon of ice cream is a really great idea. There's this thing inside of us. It just tells us these things, you know, and it regularly does it. It tells us to do things that are not the best for our health. This voice in our heads that tells us these things, not an audible voice. We don't need anybody to even suggest this stuff, right? We come up with this stuff all on our own. This voice that speaks to us these things in our heads is the voice of weakness. And it's telling us, you know, you should really take care of your weaknesses. You should really encourage them. You have a weakness for ice cream, eat as much as you want. You have a weakness for spending the day on the couch and not getting exercise when you need to be out and working out or whatever, just do it. It's okay. You have a weakness for whatever it might be that would lead to unhealthiness. Why don't you just do that? It's the voice of weakness. And unless we are willing to practice discipline, weakness will have its way in our life and our health will suffer. Because of sin, this voice is always present. But Paul tells us that there is something that you and I can do against this voice. It tells us there's something we can proactively do to not be affected negatively by this voice, even though it continues to speak to us. We find his advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Look at what he says there. He says, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Literally, he's saying, I make my body my slave. I bring it into subjection. There's something that we can do about it. And he says, the thing that we can do about it is to discipline our bodies. Now, that word discipline is actually a very graphic word. It occurs two times in the New Testament. And commonly, this word was used in everyday circumstances, perhaps even when people were describing what they saw in the games, especially the boxing matches, because that word discipline literally means give it a black eye. That's literally what that word means. He says, I discipline my body. In other words, just like the boxers would swing and hit their opponent in the face, he says, that's what I do to my body. I discipline my body. I give weakness a black eye. That's what I do about it. Instead of giving in to weaknesses, he gives weaknesses a punch in the eye. Gives them a black eye. This is so important that we do this in all areas of our life. Just want to share a quick experience, and then we'll close. For 4 years of my life, I attended a certain school where health was a big priority. And in the cafeteria, the meals that were served there were super healthy. Not only were they vegan, but there was no processed sugar. You wouldn't find a lot of oil. It was very healthy. And so I would go to the cafeteria, and I was feeling really good about myself because, man, I am making this huge stride in improving my health. I am eating healthfully. What a wonderful thing that is. And I would go to the cafeteria, and I would just eat what was there. It was all healthy food. It was a balanced diet. There was enough carbohydrates and fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and all kinds of wonderful things to eat for our health. But this is how sneaky our bodies are. See, sometimes we can relegate health to a very small area of life and say, I'm healthy because you fill in the blank. I'm healthy because I work out, or I'm healthy because I drink 10 glasses of water a day, or whatever it might be. And if we relegate health to that, what our body says is, yeah, go ahead, but I'm going to get what I want over here. We, without discipline in all areas of our lives, we can still be unhealthy. And that's what was happening in my life, because even though I was eating a healthy diet, the amount of food that I was eating was ridiculous. It was so much. It was way more than I needed. But, well, because of this voice inside of me that says, you need to eat more, 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 okay? I would go to the cafeteria and I would load up my tray. You know, it wasn't just a plate of food, it was a tray of food. And I would load it up and I would eat it. And you know, I was taught to finish my plate. Yeah, I like that teaching, okay? So I would eat everything. And after I would eat, my mind was in like a blur. It was hard to think straight. It's kind of like the post-Thanksgiving food coma. You know what I'm talking about? But it was like that for me all the time. I would go to the cafeteria, eat tons, and then go to class, and I would just be worthless. I would be falling asleep. I couldn't think clearly, but I was eating healthfully. And what I needed to do was I needed to give weakness a black eye. So what I decided to do, for each one of us that's different, we need to prayerfully ask God, because this does not feel good, to give our weaknesses a black eye. Well, that hits close to home. This isn't punching somebody else. This is punching our weaknesses. That hits close to home. And as I prayed about this, I was like, God, I know this isn't right. I know you don't want for me to be in a fog for most of the day because I have so much food in my stomach, I can't think straight. And so he led me to do a fruit fast. Not as much fruit as I could get into my mouth, but just a very, very sensible, very, very little bit. And in that way, I said no to those cravings. It was so hard. I wanted to eat tons, but I said no, no. This is not going to lead to health. This is not going to improve my relationship with God. This is not going to make me a better person, a bigger contributor to society around me. And so no, I really want to do it. I think it's really going to make me feel better. I think that I might die if I don't eat a whole bunch of food. But guess what? When I gave my weaknesses a black eye, I did not die. I actually felt better. Fancy that. Life is tough enough. We don't need to make it harder through a lack of discipline. It might feel like the easy choice in the moment, but later it's going to pay. You're going to have to pay. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be much harder than if we simply discipline ourselves. Discipline is this. It's exercising when you feel lazy. It's choosing to eat right, even when you feel like cheating. Discipline is getting up earlier and going to bed earlier so that you can spend quality time with God and quality time with your family throughout the day. Here are a few suggestions that I would like to give you. But first, I want to challenge you with this health challenge, to practice discipline. This is your health challenge this week, to practice discipline. And I'm going to give you a few suggestions because I want to kind of pique your creativity and your assessment of where you're at and allow God to lead you. This is a God thing. This is a spiritual thing. He's the one that tells us to practice discipline in all areas. He knows our struggles with discipline. This does not come to him as something new. He tells us to do it, and he knows that we can only go step by step. So in this moment, right now, I want to invite you to just ask God's Spirit to impress upon your heart, what is the next area of discipline I need to be practicing? What is the next step? How would you like for me to practice discipline in all things? And as he brings these things up into your mind, that is what he's leading you to do. Here are some suggestions. Practicing discipline in the area of diet is to eat sensible portions. When that voice comes up and says, you know, you might think you've had enough, but go ahead and have seconds. Go get another plate. It's saying no to that. It's eating sensible portions. For some of us, we need to eat more than others. So I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to say how much you should eat. This is your business between you and God, but it's eating sensible portions. That's the principle. It's cutting out things like caffeine. Caffeine is a stimulant. It's cutting out things like red meat. It's cutting out things like alcohol or anything else that could damage your body. That's what discipline calls for. Practicing discipline means that. Cutting out cigarettes, cutting out marijuana, these things don't go without saying. Many times people try to justify this stuff. Oh, well, I need it. You don't. It damages your body. You need Jesus. If we don't have Jesus, then yeah, you do need those other things because there's nothing better. So go ahead and take your drug because that's it. But there's more to life than the drugs that we take, whether it's food drugs or whether it's something else. We have Jesus. He's worth it all. Practicing discipline in the area of lifestyle means spending quality time with God and quality time with family. People who may be your biological family or maybe friends that are so close. We need that interaction. We need to make time for that. It's putting a boundary on the busyness of our life. Busyness has a way of taking over and leading us to some really unhealthy conclusions, some really unhealthy experiences. We can put a boundary on that. Thank you, Judy, for what you said, because busyness can happen in any area of life. Me, as a pastor, I can be so busy trying to do good that I'm actually unhealthy. I need to put a boundary on that. And unless I'm willing to do that, my health is going to suffer. In the area of lifestyle, one last suggestion I want to give you is to give adequate time to getting sleep. They suggest 7 to 8 hours. But whatever it is for you, give adequate time to getting rest. So in closing, I want to challenge you to simply do this, to practice discipline. Practice it for your own good. Give weakness a black eye and keep moving toward the goal of total health. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for a special blessing upon each one of us, that we would have receptive hearts to receive what your word is telling us, to be disciplined, temperate in all things. This is a hard life, but so worth it, God, if we can receive Jesus. Heavenly Father, forgive us for how we have pushed you away through our lack of discipline. Father, thank you for showing us. Thank you for giving us Jesus, who ran the race, who gives us the power to practice discipline successfully. God, thank you for forgiving us in the areas in which we failed. Thank you for the power to be able to experience total health in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. May Jesus, who overcame in every way, who lived a life of perfect discipline, empower you to say no to the things that will harm you and yes to the things that will do you good. May he empower you to run this race and be victorious, receiving the crown of eternal life in the end. God bless you.